tape recording it. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings. Just pray, Lord, that you would guide, lead, and direct the services tonight. Lord, we pray especially tomorrow for those that have procedures. Lord, I pray that each one would have a special success in what is going on, and we just pray for thy will to be done. Lord, we need to hear from you tonight. We need to see you work even in lives tomorrow at doctor's offices and things like that. Lord, we need you tonight for sure. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, very familiar passage. Matthew 11, actually turn to Acts 4 first. I'll give you a third one for your third hand if I can, but we'll go to Acts 4 first. The title of my message is, Who Are You Yoked With? Who are you yoked with? Now, when you consider what a yoke is, it's a piece of timber hollowed or made curving near each end and fitted with bows for receiving the necks of oxen, by which means two are connected for drawing. So you can imagine it's like, you know, it's like this, and it has two places for the oxen to go through, and then it pulls something behind it. So you're yoked together. Now, that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. And it's important. It's an important concept in your life. No matter what the world claims, God says that salvation is in a man. It's not in a church. It's not in a religion. It's not in the baptistry waters. It's not how good you are. It's in a man, and that man is Christ Jesus. Of course, he's God manifest in the flesh. He's God having left heaven's glory. How do you know he's God? Well, one of the reasons is they wanted to stone him because he said he was the Son of God, making himself equal with God. Well, anybody that's equal with God is God. You say, well, I don't understand that Trinity thing. Well, you don't have to understand it. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a brother. But I'm one person. So I'm three. Those are three different entities within the same person. The Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Very important to understand. So salvation is a man. That's what we need to establish first. Acts 4:12 says, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one name under heaven, and it's Jesus Christ, whereby we must be saved. That's why the world hates that name. The world, you can use Yeshua and all those things. You can talk about God or the Lord all day long. But when you say in Jesus' name, that distinguishes who you're talking about. You can talk about Muhammad and Buddha and Confucius and all of them all day long. But boy, when you start nailing it down, talking about Jesus, and people say, well, you're closed-minded. I am. Truth is truth. If you told me that, you know, the grass is green, the sky is blue, I'm pretty closed-minded on what color the sky is and what color the grass is. If you tell me water is wet, I'm closed-minded. Why? Because truth is truth. There's only salvation, one person, Jesus Christ, nobody else. It's not going to be, well, when you get to heaven, God's going to say, well, you know, you did pretty good. No, it's Jesus Christ, Him alone. So now turn to Matthew 11. Because the Lord provides salvation, He says, Come unto me. Come unto me. Once you're saved, you're supposed to be yoked together with Him. Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. By the way, there is rest in salvation. It is not a hard thing to be a Christian. You have hard times. You suffer tribulation. You may get persecuted for being a Christian. You know, I don't get persecuted much. It's water off a duck's back if I did. I mean, I'm not invited to a lot of parties that go on. If I am invited, generally it's going to be like, no. You know, I don't need that. I don't need to drink in order to have a good time. I've looked at all of us and the times that we have together and realized not one drop of booze was served at any of our fellowships, and we all had a great time. I don't understand that. I mean, how can that be? I mean, how do you loosen up? Well, you just come, and we'll loosen you up. We'll help you let your hair down or loose or whatever you got to do with it, like I did. Mine's just loose. It's not down anymore. But I mean, I don't need stimulants. I don't need anything to calm my nerves down. I don't need anything to break the ice. I've got Jesus Christ. I love life. Now, is it always enjoyable? No. Is it always sunshine every day? No. I have cloudy days. I have dark times. I have things that you won't normally find out so much about it. I learned that, look, it's not important for everybody to find out how, you know, the devil's hit me with something or just life has or this or that. It's not that important for me to go around and put my feelings on my sleeve so everybody can see it and feel sorry for me. Now, look, some people can't handle that in life. I understand that. Don't think I'm rebuking you if you find solace in having people commiserate with you. And I don't know if that's a bad word or not in this case, and I don't mean it to be. It's certainly not supposed to be condescending. What I mean, though, is, look, I'm sort of a private person. I don't want everybody to know everything that's going on in my life. But it's important to care about others. In other words, just because I'm that way, I don't expect everybody else to be that way. I am who I am because it's at some point I got to where I am, and it's not always good. I mean, you know, the people that drop dead the fastest are those that keep some things in too. So don't think it's a great thing sometimes. And I'm also a man, and men are sometimes a little different from women. Not a bad thing. I'd rather be married to a woman than the other way around. I don't care what this country's moving to. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Look at verse 29. Take my yoke upon you. What'll happen if you take his yoke upon you? And learn of me. Learn of me. Not just from me, but learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. You know what he says? He's meek and lowly in heart. Meek is not weak. Jesus wasn't weak, but he's meek. Look at verse 30. For my yoke is what? A burden? It's easy. My burden is overwhelming. No, my burden is light. There are people that are Christians that think that when you walk the Christian walk and you are living as a Christian, oh man, you just, it's such a burden. Oh, it's so bad. Oh man, I can't have any fun. Listen, let me tell you something. You can have all the fun that you need to have in this world. We're going fishing. Now, I'm not real big into fishing. The time before I went deep sea fishing, let's see. When was the last time I went fishing before that? Do you even know in our marriage? And I went four times last year. Why? It's something I now enjoy. It's just one of those. What is it? Well, just, you know, as long as I catch fish. And the sea is a little calmer. I don't really care for that rough sea one that we had. You know, I mean, you may not. Larry says, man, you're just bopping around here. And yeah, you can't tell because it's just who I am. And I didn't eat anything. And I didn't go in the building because when I went inside the little hut, it was like, I got to get out of here. It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. Pretty bad water and waves. But listen, I enjoyed myself. It's just because that's who I am. I want to express to people that being a Christian is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Being pastor of this church, same way. You know, that sweet, sweet spirit. I'm sitting back there and I heard that song and there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. You know, I don't want that to change. I am pretty protective of what happens in this church. I'm going to stay that way. I'm protective of those that would want to join with us that might not have our best interest in mind. Do you know to be a church member, you ought to have everybody else's interest in mind before yourself? That's an anomaly today. Today, man, it's all about, you know, what do I get out of it? What, you know, and some people think, well, I'm the only church member in this group. There's some people that start thinking that way and acting that way. Listen, I am no better than anybody else. And I say that time and time again because I don't want you to ever think that it ever changes. If it ever changes in my mind, I'm in trouble. But there's a lot of people that let that happen, and it becomes the downfall of the church. Look at Philippians chapter 4. So the Lord gives us the load and puts the yoke on with us. Now, I don't know about you, but let's say you had a 100-pound load. Do you know what I believe? That God won't, Jesus, our yoke together with Him, if it was a 100-pound load or a 1,000, let's do a 1,000-pound load because I don't think any of us could pull it alone or with each other. I'd choose a couple of you guys to pull it with me, but I don't know if we'd be able to do it. But a 1,000-pound load. Do you know what I believe? God say, well, I think you're only able to handle 5 pounds, so I'll do the 995. Or He says, you can do 10. I'll do the 990. So you got a 1,000-pound impossible load to pull, but with Jesus, nothing is impossible. So He can pull the whole load Himself, and when you're yoked together with Him, you can do things that are impossible and that you can't even imagine you can do. Why? Because He's in the yoke with you. He makes that which is impossible, possible. And that's why He says, with God, all things are possible. The only way to learn about God is to take His yoke upon us. He says, learn of Me. Learn of Me. The yoke is a pair of oxen. The Lord is the second one in each one of those pairs. The Lord's in your yoke with you. He's in My yoke with Me. Philippians 4:3, look at what it says. By the way, we're yoked together as other believers too. Philippians 4:3, and I entreat thee also, true what? Yoke fellow. Now, I don't really care that you come in and say, hey, brother yoke fellow. You say, I'm a Bible believer. Yeah, just some words, you know. I mean, you want to call me Mr. Yoke Fellow or Brother Yoke Fellow, that's okay, but I don't know. They might start looking at us a little cross-eyed in the community. Hey, I want to introduce my pastor to you. He is Mr. Yoke Fellow. Yeah. It says, help those women which labored with me in the gospel with Clement also and with my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. So you know what a yoke fellow is, a true yoke fellow? They're fellow laborers together. We need to be fellow laborers. We need to be laborers together with the yoke. We're yoked together and we're going in the same direction all the time. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, there's many ways this verse has been applied, and I'm going to apply it within the context of what we're talking about, whether it be the church or other believers. 2 Corinthians 6:14, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? You do know, okay, so it says, be not unequally yoked together. When you're yoked together with somebody else that is not a believer, it becomes unequally yoked. Let me tell you what will happen. They'll start turning you in the wrong direction. So you have to be careful about that. Does that mean that I don't have any friends that are lost? That's not true. In fact, I use my position, whether it be, you know, with whatever organization I'm with, I use those positions in order to be able to try to minister to others. Now, here's the problem that you have and why you have to be very careful about it. Light can become dark easier than darkness can become light. Now you say, well, you come in a room, you flip on the light. Yeah, that brings light into the world and it chases out the darkness. But the problem in this world is that darkness is a very powerful thing. The devil's very powerful. There are workers of a darkness, the workers of iniquity. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and wickedness and high places. Listen, this world's a dark world. Look at Galatians 5. We are not to be tangled up with a yoke of bondage again. Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He says, listen, you have liberty with Christ. He's made us free. I am glad I'm free. I don't have to worry. I don't have to get caught up in this world and look around and go, oh man, the sky is falling, and by the way, I see it's dipping quite a bit. It just doesn't have to affect me. Now, it should affect me to make decisions. It should affect me to plan. It should affect me in order to try to influence others to help them to plan and to think and to direct things in a direction that maybe will help in the future. But as far as just sitting up at night and going, oh man, it's all going to come, you know, crashing down, and it's the end of the world, and oh me, oh my, and you get all dopey, and that's for the world. That's not for Christians. So he says about the yoke of bondage. He says, don't get entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. How do you get the most out of God? How do you get the most out of God? Remember, He's in that yoke together with you. If you have 1,000 pounds behind you and you're only able to handle 2 pounds, I believe He'll do the 998. That's the way it is. I believe that is a principle in the Bible. You're yoked together with Him. How do you get the most out of God? You let Him do the pulling. You let Him do the pulling. Listen, there are many people that think, well, I got to do it on my own power, my own strength, my own wisdom, my own, you know. No. The more you submit, the greater your strength. Remember He said, you know, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Wait a minute. That's the verse we're looking at, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Look at what He says. And He said unto me, God speaking to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am what? Why is the world so? Oh, you got to be strong. No. When you're weak, you're dependent upon God. When you're dependent upon God because you're weak, God will get the glory out of the outcome. If you don't think that you need God, you won't depend upon Him. The world says, be self-sufficient. I've heard people say, you know, I'm a self-made man. You're not. God may have allowed you to prosper. But that prosperity or that schooling that you got that made you really, really, really smart, dumb as a box of rocks because you don't know God, it'll be used to judge you. To whom much is given, much is what? Yeah. You think that's just the saved? You don't think, listen, let me tell you something. Of the lost, if they're given much, there's going to be a lot required. So He says, when I'm weak, then am I strong. God says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. You say, well, I can't pull this load anymore. Then let Him do the pulling. Let God do the pulling. Stop trying to do it in your own strength. Stop thinking it's all about you. Listen, it's all about Him. All of it is about Him. And as we learn that, and we learn to depend upon Him, we learn to turn to Him and trust Him and trust Him more. Listen, it all works out. If you try to use your smarts, your money, your good looks, I know that's tough for some of you, and anything else that you consider necessary to God, He can't use you. He can't use you. We have to realize that only through weakness can we have strength to excel in the Lord's work. Look at John 15. John 15. His yoke. Nothing in this life can be accomplished without the Lord. Nothing. John 15, 5, he says, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So, if the world tells you, oh, well, no, you just need a little bit of that Christianity stuff. You really don't need a lot of it, just a little bit. Without me, ye can do nothing. That's what he says. Look at Lamentations chapter 3. You know, there's a saying, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. I was going to say, we got some old dogs in here. We got some young ones too, some young whippersnappers. I don't even know what that is. What's a whippersnapper? Like a pesky poodle is what it is, probably. Lamentations 3, look at verse 27. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. It's good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Lamentations 3:27, you know what the problem is? The youth are not allowed to bear the yoke. You say, well, they can't pull much. I don't care if it's a half a pound out of the thousand. God will pull the 999.5 for them. But you got to give them the opportunity to pull the yoke. You got to give them the opportunity to be yoked together with Christ and to see that they're yoked together. You know what Israel's problem? Look at Jeremiah 31. If you read Jeremiah and Isaiah, you'll see a disobedient people. We need to learn from their example. They were not yoked in their youth. Therefore, they became like a bullock that's unaccustomed to the yoke. They're ashamed and confounded because they wasted the best years of their life. Jeremiah 31, 18. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised. As a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke, turn thou me, and I shall be turned. For thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented. After that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. I don't know about you, but one of the things about young people, I don't want to see them train wreck. You know what happens when you're in a train wreck? You get mangled. Yeah, you may live. You may come out of it, but you may never be the same. There are consequences to sin that young people have no idea. Those consequences, some of them can never be turned around. Never. You still got the scars. Even if you're able to come out of it. And listen, I didn't serve God for 3 years, but it could have been a whole lot different. I could have never come out of it. I could have just kept going and going and going. I was that close. I was in New York at a job interview, and I had the, and they offered me the position, one of the big 8 accounting firms, right there, right then. And it was tempting. But you know what? I wasn't living for the Lord. I was just graduating, and I looked around that city, and I went, this city will eat me alive. So I went to Atlanta, Georgia instead. 30 days in the hotel. And I just watched. It kept going down and down and down. Finally, I prayed. But I still have scars. I still have the fact that for 3 years I didn't pray, I didn't go to church, I didn't love the Lord. I had people that I crossed paths with that have now gone on. I don't know whether they were saved or lost, and whether I could have had an opportunity to help them. There was one lady in particular when I was at Penn State in an apartment. I remember the day I found out that she had committed suicide. I was in Alabama. I'd just gotten right with God. And somebody that was still up there told me that she committed suicide. I remember I would see her out my window. I was studying, and I had a corner window. And she would get out of her car and walk about 5 feet and go back to the car. Walk about 5 feet and go back to the car and see if it was locked. Just like that. 10 times. Do you know why that happened? Because somebody came by and broke her antenna off her car. That pushed her over the edge. Somebody had vandalized her car. Something as simple as that. And she had she was getting Alzheimer's. But boy, they told me she died. When I heard that, I preached chapel that Friday. And I remember the message was, you're going to learn by experience. You'll learn by experience. And I got up there and I was breaking down, because I was thinking about that lady that's in hell right now. If she was never saved, and I have no reason to believe she was, but I know I had the truth and I didn't give it to her. Regrets. I tell young people all the time, no regrets. Boy, if you can figure out a way not to have regrets, you're going to be in good shape. But listen, you do things and you live a life and you go a direction, you're going to have regrets if it's the wrong way. That's why you've got to keep Jesus Christ first in your life. And if you don't do that, you're going to have regrets in the future. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. You know what David learned? That service was to start as a youth. Saul questioned David's capabilities because of his age, but God had already proved David. 1 Samuel 17:33, Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." Thou art but a youth. How many saw what Senator Cruz sent out about the Russian commercial for military and the American commercial? Anybody see that? You need to see it. The Russians, you can imagine them. You know, you want to be a Russian military guy, and you know they're just. The American commercial was a young lady. Well, I went to college and I had two moms, and my mom showed me how to persevere when she married her girlfriend and daughter, and this is a recruitment tool for the American military. You ought to look at it. And it's just like, really? Really? That's gonna build our fighting force? You ought to watch it. It'll put a smile on your face and tears in your eyes. If it wasn't so sad, it would be funny. Look at verse 42. Goliath despised David because of his age. 1 Samuel 17:42, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. Young people, you know what? People will disdain you. People will think little of you sometimes because you're young. Do you know some of the greatest revivals have started with young people? Yeah. Boy, a young person on fire for God can make all the difference in the world. And don't you ever let anybody tell you that they need to put that fire out, because they don't. And you don't need to let them. And you don't need to get discouraged just because, you know, some of us have been saved since Noah was on the ark. We're set in our ways and we think, oh no, don't get too excited. You know, you'll change things and, oh, you'll bring conviction. I'll tell you what it is, you bring conviction on a bunch of us old fogies. You get on fire for God, it'll make a difference in everybody around you. But then there's going to be the doubters. They'll come up to you and they'll say, it'll wear off. It'll wear off. Listen, let me tell you, I don't want Christianity to wear off on any single person in here. I don't want it. I don't want you to think that somehow it's just this phase you're going to go through. You need to go through a phase where it stays for the rest of your life, and then when you look back at your life, you can say, no regrets. No regrets. You know why some people go through things, and they're very difficult things, and you see them? I look back, and I have seen some people that really failed in their walk for Christ. And you wonder at the time, why, God? Why? And then I realize it was a warning to me. It can happen to anybody. It was a warning to me that, look, don't you ever think that they walked down that path thinking that the end of it was going to end up like they were going to be. They never saw it coming. But because they went through it, I'm able to look at it and go, I better not let my guard down. I better not let the devil get a foothold in my life. And the footholds that he gets, I better stomp on his toes to get those things out of my life so that I can be back where I ought to be for Jesus Christ as soon as I can. Goes for every one of us. Don't you ever think, and this is why I'm a pretty gracious person, because I look at people differently. I don't look at things black and white so much anymore. I look at it and I go, I mean, we adopted two children. We kept them for one weekend. I told you what Heather did. Heather dropped some popcorn, and I said, you need to pick up that popcorn. You can't play with us. She takes the bowl, and she puts her hand in the popcorn. She's 3 years old and goes just like that on the floor. So that's that rotten child. No, that rotten parent. You understand? Now, just because children do that doesn't mean that they got bad parents. It's just that in this case, they did. Because I knew the parents. I mean, I took him back to church. I said, Justin, get your feet off that pew. And he's sitting next to his mom after they spent the weekend with us. And he looks over at his mom, looks over at me, and goes, and she laughs. What do you expect? Oh, he's a rotten kid. Rotten mom. Rotten mom. So I've been, I was in mission work, president of the mission for I don't know how many years, at least 10. I watch people come through and families come through and families come through and families come through, and I watch messed up lives. I watch lawyers and doctors that got hooked on drugs and they lost everything. I watch people come through there and they didn't want you to get them a house, a job, a wife, they didn't want the responsibility. They wanted to have a roof over their head, food in their belly, and they'll go to church if you make them. And then we had them in church, and we started seeing them change. When I first went to the mission, you know what you'd see? When I would go in there and teach in the afternoons, I'd just see the tops of their heads. They'd never even look at me. Never even look at me. We called them mission monkeys. You know what that was? That was somebody that went from this mission, and they started moving north during the summer, and then they came back down in the winter. Went through Alabama, came down to Florida, and kept going down further, and they went from mission to mission to mission to mission. You know what we did? We made them be responsible. If a man will not work, neither should he eat. They got a job. We had an 80-acre farm. You know what we raised up there? We didn't raise cows. We raised pigs. Pigs. They stunk. And they stunk bad. And we had up to 12 men up there on that 80-acre farm, and they were the ones that had graduated up to there, and they took care of those pigs. Listen, it's a training thing. And we had more success out of the farm than we did anything else. Why? Because they realized what it was like to be in the pig pen. They realized what it was like, the prodigal son, when he said, I'd eat the husks that the pigs... There are people in my father's home. There are servants in my father's home eating better than I am. You start getting down to the lowest low and you'll realize where it is. But the problem is some of us have never been there. Some of us have never seen that. And we can't understand it. Look at what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 28. The choice is yours. You can yoke up with God, or Satan will put a yoke on you. You hear that? You can yoke up with God, or Satan will put that yoke on you. Deuteronomy 28, 47. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God, the Lord thy God, with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Look at this verse. It's so important. Because you didn't serve the Lord with joyfulness and gladness of heart, with all the abundance of the things God gave you. Now, does that speak of any of us? Yes. I mean, I'm not saying you're not joyful. I'm not saying you don't have the gladness, but I'm saying all of us have the abundance. Are you joyful? Are you glad? Look at verse 48. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. He says, you're going to serve your enemies. You're going to have a yoke of iron put upon your neck. I don't want that. I don't want to see that for one person in this church. I don't want to see it for one person that I come in contact with. Lord, help each one of us to never get to the point where we think that we don't need you. We need him. We need to be in that yoke together. We need to learn how to pull down the strongholds. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, in Isaiah 58, there's a thing about fasting in there, and it says in verse 6, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Do you know that the fasting and prayer, it can loose the bands of wickedness, undo the heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free, and break every yoke? This goeth not out but by fasting and prayer. Some of you can't necessarily fast. You can fast in different ways. You can quit all food and drink only water, maybe a juice, but you should probably quit coffee. You should do all the things that are, you should get rid of all the things that are pleasurable in a fast. And you can overcome some of the strongholds in your life that you think you can't ever overcome. Look at what he says in 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the what? Pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Pulling down the strongholds. God can help you pull down those strongholds. If you've got something in your life that you just cannot overcome, try fasting and prayer. If you can't fast from food, you can skip a meal. You can fast for a meal. Fast for a day. The last couple times, I fasted for 3 days. And let me tell you something. That's tough. That first day is the hardest, though. You get past the first day, it makes a big difference. Fasting and prayer, pulling down strongholds. We all need to be yoked together, and we all need to be yoked together with Christ. And we need to let Him do the pulling, and not let this world get us bound up in thinking that there's no hope, that the devil's going to win. See, the devil's up there. He's accusing the brethren. Boy, he's probably just over there. He's probably right over Washington, D.C. right now, like just taking those strings like this. I want you to move here and do this. Some people, you know, they asked me the other day, well, why in the world would they be doing some of the things they're doing? They're just destroying America. And maybe it is. They're just tools of Satan. That's what they are. So what do you do? God's allowing it. Why is God allowing it? Maybe He wants to get your attention. Maybe He wants to get mine. Maybe we're trusting in the ease of life too much. Maybe we look at our security and think, oh, well, you know, everything's going to stay like it is and everything will be okay. Listen, it's going to be okay, but not the way you or I think it is. It may be that God needs to get our attention in a very real way. Make sure, if He ever tries to get your attention, you perk up and say, yes, Lord, speak, Lord, I'm listening. I'm listening. Let's all stand together. Let's pray. Lord, You thank You for Your many blessings. I pray, Lord, that You'd have Your will and Your way in our lives. We thank You for being such a gracious and wonderful God. Lord, we pray for the young people that have a lot of testing coming up this week. Lord, I know that Abby and Delaney mentioned it the most. I'm sure the others are also testing. And Lord, just pray that You would give them peace of mind. Lord, we think about Pam and her family and Lord Larry and Hollett and the shots that they got coming up on Monday. We just pray that these procedures would give them some relief, Lord. I pray that whatever has gone on is such a temporary thing that, Lord, they're going to look to Thee and just praise You for the relief that they got. I just pray that this is Your will and that we want to see this. And, Lord, we just want to hear You glorified in all things. In Jesus' name, with the music playing.